Well, yes, once again, we find ourselves looking at the clock, only to discover that it is, in fact, 1930 UTC. That is, of course, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And as I sit here, I just sat down, getting ready, and who do you think said, oh, it must be time to do important kitty business? If you guessed my kitty Pippa, then you are correct. Because this has become a habit. Yes. I got up, started doing my stuff. You know, I ate my waffles for breakfast, and I made some tea, and I checked my email. And that takes about, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much email I need to respond to. Today I didn't have to respond to any. And so it only took me, when did I get up? Oh, it was less than 45 minutes ago. But anyway, here I am, sitting here with my cat, and I'm trying to watch football. But the game just went to half. So it's halftime. It's halftime for Hoffenheim. Watching Germans play football. Petting my cat on the blanket. Oh, you're a good baby. Look at your squinty face. Yes, you have a very squinty face. It's so nice. It's so pretty. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I'm doing. Is that what we're doing, Pippa? Yes, that's what we're doing. So, isn't that exciting? Yes, it is. I kind of wanted to go outside today. I wanted to go to Herrenhaven because the weather people said, oh, it's going to be 90 degrees today. And no, it's not. It's 30 degrees cooler than they said it would be. That's just bad forecasting. If you're off by 30 degrees, you're bad at your job. I mean, if you're off by 3 degrees, that fits within margin of error. And that's fine. I can understand 3 degrees. But when you're off by 30 degrees, that's not acceptable. So it's still a little rainy and windy. It's kind of chilly outside. But not, cold enough that we couldn't go out there. Right, Bingin. You're a good kitty. The cat has to change positions. Oh, I better move. I better lean in a different direction, says my cat. So yeah, we're sitting indoors again for the millionth time. Although I might go to the hardware store today. I've been slacking. I haven't been building anything. I haven't been building any musical instruments. But I have been having a lot of fun playing the ones that I've already built. But I think it's time to keep building. So I'm thinking, do I need to cut up some boxes today? Do I need to go to the hardware store and get that plank? That board, because I found mahogany 1x2s, or were they 1x3s? I can't remember. Either way, they're not, 1 inch by 2 inches or 3 inches, because the name of lumber is not the size of lumber. A 2x4 is not 2 inches by 4 inches, nor is a 1x3 or a 1x2. I think these are 1x2s, because I think they're something like 5/8 of an inch thick by an inch and a half, something like that. So I gotta go out to the hardware store and get one of those. Then I will cut, it's 6 feet long, almost 2 meters, and I will cut it in half and make 2 necks out of it. And that will be excellent. So that's what I might do today. If I do that, I'll have to throw in some laundry. So yeah, we got lots of exciting stuff going on. So much excitement.
Oh, brother.
Who's a good kitty? You're a good kitty.
Right, so here's something else I've been thinking about. It's kind of weird, but, you know, what isn't kind of weird around here? So, yesterday, I watched the classic Orson Welles film, F for Fake. And I love that movie. I watch it every time it's on. I love Orson Welles films. And this is one of his great ones. It's his last one, but it's still great for various reasons. And ostensibly, or nominally, the film F for Fake is about art forgery. Or just forgery and fraud in general. Basically, the film is kind of a documentary, kind of, about Elmer Dorey and Clifford Irving. Elmer Dorey is an art forger, or was an art forger. And Clifford Irving is best known as the author of the fake Howard Hughes autobiography. If you're not old enough to remember that particular episode in American history, look up Howard Hughes, learn who he is or was, and then look up, you know, the fake autobiography business. It's very funny. Very funny stuff. And so Cliff Irving, he wrote a fake autobiography of Howard Hughes and then got caught, got busted, and it became a big scandal. But this film also sort of explores, you know, what is forgery when it comes to things like the creative arts? Can you really forge anything? And a lot of examples are given in this movie. Highlights came on and I'm watching football. Okay, I'm good. A lot of examples in the film have to do with art. And, you know, if somebody forges, for example, if somebody forges a Picasso painting and the experts can't tell that it's a fake, does that make it a real Picasso? You know, yes and no. You know, arguments can be made either way. But if nobody can tell the difference, then what difference is there? I mean, there is no difference, right? And there's a story told in the film, and I've heard this before, in which Pablo Picasso was shown some Picasso forgeries. And he said, oh yeah, these are all fake. That one's fake, that one's fake, that one's fake. And then a guy pipes up and says, but Pablo, I watched you paint this one yourself. And Pablo Picasso says, yeah, I can paint fake Pablo Picasso paintings, you know, better than anyone. Okay, makes sense, and I get it. I've heard other very similar stories as well. I've heard a story, I don't remember which particular artist it was, but basically he was shown a forgery of his own work, and he went ahead and claimed it was his, even though everybody knew it was a forgery, and the artist himself knew it was a forgery. He said, yeah, that's one of mine, only because it was so perfect in his style and everything. The guy just said, yeah, why not? Why is that not? How is that not one of my paintings? Sure, I didn't paint it, but it's in my style. It's everything I normally do, blah, blah, blah. And these are all stories that I've basically heard before because, you know, I'm kind of a fan of the art forgery world. But let's take this in a different direction. Let's talk about music. The funny thing is, you know, for the last couple of days I've been talking about T-Rex, and I've been playing T-Rex songs on my cigar box guitar. And a couple of days ago I was thinking, you know, T-Rex songs are so, I don't want to say stupid, but they're so simple. You know, T-Rex songs, they don't tell any stories or anything. They're just rhymed couplets, and they seem kind of random. Yeah, like, for example, 20th Century Boy. How does it go? Friends think it's fine. Friends think it's good. Everybody says it's just like Robin Hood. And then you have lyrics like, automatic shoes. Automatic shoes give me 3D vision and the California blues. That sounds like a verse from the same song. It is not. And that's a verse from Telegram Sam. So if you look at it, these songs are all very similar, have very similar style. And I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't be difficult to write a T-Rex song. And I almost started doing this. But I was thinking, yeah, it would be easy to write a T-Rex song. For example, here's a verse. I'm just going to make this up off the top of my head. Burgers and fries, I'm the kind of guys who likes burgers and fries. Okay, it's just that simple. Okay, that could easily be written by Mark Bolan, T-Rex. And so I thought maybe I could write a whole T-Rex song, because the songs are all the same musically. You know, they're just, you know, start on a chord, go up to the fifth, go back to the tonic, go back to the bass chord. It's just that simple. And then I watched the movie F for Fake, and I thought, you know what might be interesting is to actually really, really forge a fake T-Rex song. You could make a recording and release it into the public and say, this is a previously unheard T-Rex demo that's never been released before. Okay, Mark Bolan is dead. There's no way he can confirm or deny the writing of the song. This would be very simple to do. It's not a difficult task at all. But I'm not going to do that. Just because I don't feel like putting in the effort. Yeah, I can spend 3 hours doing that, or I can spend 3 hours working on stuff that I really need to be working on. So... but that's not where I'm going with this whole conversation. Watching the film F for Fake and thinking about how this would apply in music, and thinking about some of these things that Clifford Irving has said, or Elmer Dory has said, or Pablo Picasso has said, I'm trying to reconcile these concepts with my own life. Another thing you've been hearing me say for the last week or more is that I am not a musician. And you heard my story from yesterday or the day before, where I was in the hospital with my dad and I was just sitting there playing my cigar box guitar. I can't even barely play it. I can get a few notes out of it and that's it. And everybody freaked out. All the nurses had to come in. Everybody in the hospital, oh, you're a brilliant musician. You're a genius artist. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't sit well with me, because I have no musical training, or actually very, very little musical training. I've never had a guitar lesson. I've never had a piano lesson. I've never... all the instruments you hear me play on this show, I have learned autodidactically. I have taught myself how to play, and it's not difficult. There's nothing hard about music. People think it's super difficult, and only the biggest geniuses know how to play a musical instrument. And for the last few days, you've heard me say that I am a musical fraud, or I feel like I am a musical fraud, because everybody in the world worships me as being some kind of musical genius, and I don't know anything about music. I barely know some of the basic concepts. Everything you hear me talking about, everything you hear me say, it's because I looked it up and it got me thinking, and so I needed to talk about it. And you've also heard me say for the last week that it sort of annoys me that people act this way around me. Because the reason that it annoys me is because it makes me think that you are stupid. if you come up to me and say, "Oh my God, you're a musical genius. You're brilliant. You must be rich because you make millions of dollars playing beautiful music for people." You know, that just makes me think you're an idiot. It shows, one, that you know nothing about music, because if you knew anything about music, you would know that I am not, in fact, doing anything significant. And so some people might say, "Well, Toby, you just need to learn how to take a compliment." Well, yeah, kind of, but it's like, how do I say this? I can think of an analogy here, but it's kind of sexist. But it's kind of like when people say something is cute when it's really, really ugly. You know, it's what's the other, or be, I don't know what to compare this to. It doesn't do you any good to give anybody a compliment when that compliment is so empty or based on opinion and not any kind of fact. It doesn't make any sense that, you know, if you don't know anything about cars, how can you say any particular car is good or bad? But still, people have their opinions. Well, what are they basing their opinions on? It doesn't make any sense. If you don't know anything about computers, you cannot say whether or not an operating system is good or bad. If you don't know anything about anything, you can't say whether it's good or bad. You know what I'm saying here? I realize that's kind of weird, but I don't know what to think. So I've got people telling me that I'm some kind of musical genius. It's not true. I can teach you everything I know. I can teach you to play every single instrument that I can play at the level I play it in less than a day. And that's a lot of musical instruments. You know, that's a lot of... It won't take me a day to teach you enough to be able to gig as a professional musician. I'm not kidding. I have been paid to play music. People are suckers. They know what they like, though. I like tea. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. So what's my point? Where am I going with this? Well, you know, in the movie F for Fake, one of the points that they beat over your head is that, you know, what is an expert? Who is the expert and who is the artist? Because in the world of visual art, in the world of paintings, you know, you got the people who paint, and then you have these art experts who then appraise it, and they either say it's good or it's bad. And if they say it's good, suddenly it's worth money. If they say it's bad, it's nothing. And it's these same experts who are examining forgeries or frauds. And if they say it's good, then it's good. If they say it's bad, then it's bad. And it doesn't matter who really painted it. You know, Pablo Picasso himself could paint a bad Picasso and then ask an art dealer, "Is this a forgery?" They would say yes, even though it's not. You know, Pablo Picasso did paint it, but, you know, as soon as somebody who's an expert. All right, so why do I have such a hard time rationalizing this in my own life? You know, I know that I'm a fraud. I know that what I do is faking it. What I can do, if I have any skill in the world, it's the skill of mimicry. I can make things sound like something that is real. You know, listen to all this Indian music that we've been talking about lately, and you hear me play my fruitcake tin sitar, and you think, oh my God, it's brilliant. It sounds just like the real thing. Well, to me, it doesn't. To me, it's just a mimicry. It's just an imitation. But everybody loves it. Nobody can tell the difference between my imitation and the real thing. And so if nobody can tell the difference between my imitations and the real thing, does that make my imitation the real thing? Well, it certainly does in the eyes of common people. And so maybe I just need to embrace. Maybe I need to learn to accept my musical fraud and accept the heaps of praise that people keep piling on me. And you know, I would do that, but I just realized something. One of the reasons that it annoys me is because I'm not reaping any of the other benefits, meaning I'm not getting any money out of this. So your empty praise means nothing to me. If you think I'm a genius, give me money. Give me a MacArthur grant. Give me the MacArthur Fellowship. Give me the Genius Fellowship grant, whatever. Okay? And I'll keep doing this, quote, genius, end quote, stuff for you all day. Like, maybe that's why I'm mad about it. Because all this empty praise means nothing to me, and it's constant, and it's just repetitive, and it's annoying as hell, and I don't get anything out of it. It's, if you think this is crazy, imagine something that you've never done. Okay, let's say climbing Mount Everest. Now, imagine that locally, somebody noticed that you walked up a hill and you came back down again. And they said, wow, you climbed that mountain. You must be Edmund Hillary. You must be Tenzin Norgay. You're a great mountain climber. You climbed Mount Everest. Now, you know that you did not climb Mount Everest, but nobody else can tell the difference. How would you feel if people were constantly congratulating you for climbing Mount Everest, but you've never even been to Nepal? Of course you've never climbed Mount Everest, but everybody thinks you're a genius because you climbed Mount Everest, and obviously you didn't. How do you think that would make you feel? Yeah, that's a weird thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Another example. Imagine people walking up to you once a day. They see you get out of your car at the grocery store. And so people then walk up to you and say, congratulations for winning the Indianapolis 500, or congratulations for winning the supercar race. You're an amazing race car driver. We love you. Now imagine two or three people saying that to you everywhere you go, every freaking day. And you've never set foot in a race car in your life. And yet here's people telling you what a great race car driver you are. Would you be angry? You might just be confused the first 100 times it happens. You might think, oh, this is amusing, the first 1,000 times it happens. But after about 2,000 times, aren't you going to find this annoying as hell? Yeah, you might just do that. I realize that this seems like a strange rant to go on, but what you need to understand is every time anybody sees me play a musical instrument, if I'm out in public for some reason or whatever, that's all I hear. Oh, you're the greatest musician who ever existed. You're greater than this person. I can't even play. What you're saying is really a reflection of your ignorance. You know nothing, so little about music, nothing about it. You're comparing me, a rank amateur, a Tyrolean, to experts who have studied their entire lives. You're an idiot.
But I digress.
So here, let me express some musical genius. I know you think that I'm some kind of expert or something, but no. I've only learned to play this instrument in the last 2 weeks. I built my cigar box guitar and started learning how to play it. And I've only spent a total of maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour every day playing it. You know, I'll play for 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, and 10 minutes before I go to bed. And yeah, and I'm already at this level. You can be too. This is very simple. Everything you think you know about playing musical instruments is absolutely wrong. Why is this instrument so simple to play? Why is it so easy to learn? Because it was designed that way. You can do this too. It is not hard. Tune we are today. Like I said, I've only been up for now maybe almost an hour. Haven't even tuned my instruments yet. Is there a little buzz in there today? What is that? Anyway, maybe you heard this show today, maybe you didn't. Did a non-radio work? Who knows? I'm done. I'm out of here. Bye. Whatever.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
Shut up, 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 sh